Welcome to the Victory of the Lamb podcast. We are a simple, straightforward Bible teaching church in Katy, Texas. If you are in the area, we'd love for you to stop by anytime. Otherwise, we hope you use this podcast to grow in your faith and be confident in sharing it with many. You can find us online at votl.org. We hope you enjoy this message, and God bless your week.
When you think about God's grace, it's pretty crazy, isn't it? In a good way. Last week, we heard about Nebuchadnezzar, and now he was unwilling to be humble. He was unwilling to repent of his sin of pride. But that didn't stop God from wanting to save Nebuchadnezzar, as we heard about last week. God wanted Nebuchadnezzar to repent. God wanted the man who destroyed Jerusalem, who raided the temple and destroyed it, to be saved. Nebuchadnezzar, when God called him to repentance, didn't repent right away. He was unwilling to be humble, as we saw. So God humbled Nebuchadnezzar. And after Nebuchadnezzar was humbled, he repented of his sin of pride. He praised God and then lived for God. When you think about God's grace, it's pretty amazing. It's pretty crazy. Today, as we continue our sermon series on Daniel, we're going to see the opposite attitude in Nebuchadnezzar's son, Belshazzar. Belshazzar is the new king of Babylon after his father Nebuchadnezzar died. Throughout his whole life, Belshazzar saw his father live a proud and arrogant life. But then he saw God humble Nebuchadnezzar. He witnessed God's grace firsthand. He saw his father Nebuchadnezzar repent of his sin of pride, praise God, and then live for God. Belshazzar saw and knew the humble heart one was to have as they lived their life. But Belshazzar chose to ignore all of that. And instead, he chose to live for this world only, not for God. And because he lived in such a way, God punished Belshazzar. Today, as we continue our sermon series, we're going to see how God punished Belshazzar for his sin of living for this world only, and how God now warns us about that sin of sinfully living for this world only. Our verses for today come from Daniel chapter 5, beginning at verse 17. But before we go through those verses, I'd like you to listen in on what happened in verses 1 through 16. So as I mentioned to you, Belshazzar, he is the new king of Babylon. His father Nebuchadnezzar has died. But as king, Belshazzar enjoyed all the pleasures of life. He enjoyed living for this world only. Well, one night as Belshazzar was living in this very party lifestyle and enjoying things, he decided to have a party. He threw a party for his nobles to celebrate their false gods of gold, silver, bronze, iron, wood, and stone. They wanted to celebrate their gods. And so a party was thrown, and Belshazzar and his nobles were enjoying this party. They were drinking, eating, and being merry. At one point during the party, Belshazzar decided to have the goblets that were once in God's temple in Jerusalem brought to his party. He wanted to use those in celebration to his false gods. So the goblets that were once in God's temple were now brought to celebrate false gods. When Belshazzar did this, he defiled God for the last time. God's grace was soon coming to an end for Belshazzar. During the party that night, God warned Belshazzar of the impending punishment that was coming. A hand appeared and started writing on the wall in Belshazzar's party room in his palace. When Belshazzar saw this, he was terrified. His face became pale. His knees knocked back and forth. He was afraid. When he could muster up the words to say, he summoned his wise men. He asked them to read and interpret the writing on the wall. He wanted to know, what does this mean? He proceeded to offer them worldly possessions and worldly power as incentive for them to do this. But even with the worldly possessions and the worldly power on the line, things that many crave, Belshazzar's wise men could not read, let alone interpret the writing on the wall. Realizing this, Belshazzar became even more terrified, and he didn't know what to do. So while Belshazzar was shaking in his boots at his party, not knowing what to do, he was terrified, the queen came in. And she began to tell him what to do. She told him to summon the man that his father, Nebuchadnezzar, entrusted with problems like these. She told him to summon Daniel, because Daniel could solve and interpret this problem for him. Now you may be wondering, how did she know what to do and not the king? Well, she listened. Throughout Nebuchadnezzar's life, she clearly listened to what happened before and after Nebuchadnezzar was humbled. She clearly saw what Daniel did. She didn't ignore it like Belshazzar. She told Belshazzar to summon Daniel, and he did instantly. Belshazzar summoned Daniel, and the same thing he did with his wise men, he did with Daniel. He offered Daniel worldly possessions and worldly power as incentive to interpret the writing. What do you think a God-fearing man like Daniel did? That's where our verses for today pick up. You're welcome to open up your Bibles if you haven't already to Daniel chapter 5, beginning at verse 17. I'll start there and we'll go through verse 31, throughout the sermon. Daniel chapter 5, beginning at verse 17. Then Daniel answered the king, "You may keep your gifts for yourself and give your rewards to someone else. Nevertheless, I will read the writing for the king and tell him what it means." Daniel looked at all the worldly possessions, at all the worldly power that Belshazzar offered him, and he told the king to keep them. He told the king, "I don't want those." Daniel knew that stuff didn't matter. He told the king to give them to someone else. By doing this, Daniel demonstrated that he was living for God and not for the world. Now Daniel begins his interpretation. Verses 18 through 24. "O king, the Most High God gave your father Nebuchadnezzar sovereignty and greatness, glory and splendor. Because of the high position he gave him, all the peoples and nations and men of every language dreaded and feared him. Those the king wanted to put to death, he put to death. Those he wanted to spare, he spared. Those he wanted to promote, he promoted. And those he wanted to humble, he humbled. But when his heart became arrogant and hardened with pride, he was deposed from his royal throne and stripped of his glory. He was driven away from people and given the mind of an animal. He lived with the wild donkeys and ate grass like cattle. His body was drenched with the dew of heaven until he acknowledged that the Most High God is sovereign over all the kingdoms of men and sets them over anyone he wishes. But you, his son, O Belshazzar, have not humbled yourself, though you knew all of this. Instead, you have set yourself up against the Lord of heaven. You had the goblets from his temple brought to you, and you and your nobles, your wives and your concubines drank wine from them. You praised the gods of gold, silver, bronze, iron, wood, and stone, which cannot see, hear, or understand. But you did not honor the God who holds in his hand your life and all your ways. Therefore, he sent the hand that wrote this inscription. Daniel began his interpretation of the writing by reminding Belshazzar about his father Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was a very powerful and successful king. But though he was powerful and successful, he was also arrogant and proud. So God humbled Nebuchadnezzar. And after Nebuchadnezzar was humbled, he repented of his sin of pride. He praised God and lived for God. Daniel said, Belshazzar, you knew all of this. You knew the humble and repentant heart one was to live with, but you chose to ignore that. You chose not to live accordingly. And instead, you chose to live for this world only. Thus, here is your punishment, Belshazzar, that God has issued against you. Verses 25 through 28. This is the inscription that was written. Mene, Mene, Tekel, Parson. This is what these words mean. Mene, God has numbered the days of your reign and brought it to an end. Tekel, you have been weighed on the scales and found wanting. Paris, your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Daniel announced God's punishment to Belshazzar. Belshazzar's days were numbered. Because Belshazzar lived according to this world, he would soon face the punishment of death because of his sin. Belshazzar was found wanting. He only lived for this world and the things it had to offer. And then he lacked the one thing he needed to be saved. And thus, because he did all of that, Belshazzar's kingdom, Babylon, would be divided and given to its enemies. Belshazzar lived for this world only. And soon, very soon we will see, he would be punished with death. Now, when someone hears a punishment like that, that's coming for sure, you think they'd kind of be remorseful and sorry for everything. But not Belshazzar. Verse 29. Then at Belshazzar's command, Daniel was clothed in purple, a gold chain was placed around his neck, and he was proclaimed the third highest ruler in the kingdom. Does it seem like Daniel's warning did anything for Belshazzar? No, it doesn't. Belshazzar continued to live for this world only and all the possessions. He forced the worldly possessions and power on Daniel. Then this happened. Verses 30 and 31. That very night, The king of the Babylonians was slain, and Darius the Mede took over at the age of 62. That very night, Belshazzar was weighed and found wanting. God's grace came to an end for Belshazzar, and he was destroyed along with his kingdom, and his kingdom was divided and given to its enemies. Belshazzar lived for this world only. How have you lived for this world only? Let's think about the current circumstances facing our lives right now. As things slowly kind of get back to somewhat of a kind of normal, where's your focus? Perhaps as things slowly open back up and get into a new routine, your focus is on those friendships that haven't been very strong because of COVID. You haven't been able to meet in person. But now you're kind of getting together in small groups, a few at a time. And that's great. You get to hang out with your friends again. But as you're hanging out with them, they use bad language. They swear. You stand there and you listen to all of this. You know it's wrong to speak in such a way. But you also know that if you say something, they may not like you anymore. You may not be a part of their friend group. And you don't want that to happen. So you weigh your options. And your focus is in the wrong place. You sinfully live for this world and the relationships it has to offer. Rather than living for God, you join in on the swearing. So you don't lose your friends. Perhaps as things kind of get back to somewhat of a normal, your focus is on that to-do list, that checklist of all these things that needs to get done. It's not wrong to do those things. But are you daily listening and studying God's word? You have this big to-do list, and it's going to take so much time, so you start to cut things out of your life. You aren't in the word on a daily basis. When churches open back up, you don't really want to come, and it's not because of germs, it's because, well, I have other things to do. Maybe you chose not to listen to church online because there was something else going on in your life. You don't have that excitement, that energy to daily listen to God's word. And instead, the things of this life take priority. Your focus is in the wrong place. Your focus is on the things to do in this life. You live for this world only rather than living for God. One other example. As things kind of get back to a normal, perhaps your focus is on your relationship with your grandkids. You're starting to see them again. They weren't allowed to see you for a while because you were in the at-risk category. And you're starting to hang out with them and talk to them again. But pretty soon you realize they're caught up in a sin. You know that sin is wrong. But you know that if you say something to them, they may not like you. They may not want to talk to you. They may not want to ever see you again. You don't know how much time you have left on this earth, and you want it all to spend with them and see them. You're more concerned about your relationship with them than their relationship with God. Your focus is in the wrong place. You live for this world and the relationships it has to offer rather than living for God. I think time and again you can see you are just like Nebuchadnezzar or Belshazzar. You sinfully live for this world only. You live for the friendships, the things to do, the relationships rather than living for God. And because you sinfully lived this way, the hand also writes on your wall, numbered, wanting, divided. Because you sinfully lived for this world only, because your priorities were out of order, your days are numbered until you are punished. Because you sinfully lived for this world only, when you are weighed on God's scales, you are found wanting, guilty, and condemned. Thus you will be divided, soul from body, and endure the punishment of eternity in hell. All this will happen because, like Belshazzar, you sinfully lived for this world only. As you hear that, I hope your knees are knocking. I hope you have a pale face. I hope you're terrified, realizing what you deserve. You were weighed and found wanting. But there was another. There was another who was also weighed and not found wanting. Instead, he was found perfect. Jesus, your Savior, was weighed on God's scales and found perfect in your place. Throughout his whole life, the devil tempted him. When he was in the desert for 40 days, the devil tempted him. The devil tried to get Jesus to stop from being your Savior just for a moment. He offered him worldly possessions and worldly power. But do you know what your Savior did? He always said no. He always lived for God and not for the world. He lived a perfect life for you. He stepped onto God's scales for you and took your place. He balanced your scales before God when he gave up that perfect life, when he endured the punishment of hell on the cross. And then he showed you those balanced scales of yours after he was risen from the dead. He shows you your sins are already forgiven because of what he did for you. And now when God weighs you on his scales, the scale doesn't read sinner found wanting. Instead, it reads saved because of Jesus. You are already saved because of what Jesus has done for you. And because of what Jesus has done for you, your days are now numbered until you go to heaven. And you know what? God knows those days. God knows the days, hours, minutes, and seconds until you are in paradise with him. Wow, what a comfort. You are not found wanting. Instead, you are found saved because of Jesus. Thus, you have a home waiting for you in heaven. And when you hear all this now, I imagine you're filled with excitement and joy written all over your face. Maybe you're jumping and screaming, so happy, and rightly so. Knowing what Jesus has done for you, now be eager to live for God and not for the world. Because when you do live for God, things like this happen. There was a book I recently read. And in this true story, the author talks about how he was once caught up in all the pleasures of life, kind of like Belshazzar. He was caught up in living for this world only. He bought the latest and greatest sports cars. And when one died or one he didn't like anymore, he got a new one. He bought the best house in the best neighborhood. This man bought the best of anything and everything. He reflects back and realizes he was looking for fulfillment and satisfaction in life. He was looking for happiness, but he admits he never found it. This man was living for this world only. Well, as the book goes on, the author recounts a group of Christians that lived down his street and one who worked with him. Now, these Christians, he now realizes, were living for God and not for the world like he was. And at the time, he admits that made him really mad and upset. He didn't like how they were living. And so he set out to disprove Christianity. And to do this, he started reading the Bible. He read and studied what these Christians believed and lived by. He tried disproving what it said. But after weeks and months of studying God's word, this man didn't end up disproving Christianity. Instead, he became a Christian. And as he became a Christian, he started to find that satisfaction, that fulfillment, that joy and that happiness in things he did, because he was now living for God and not for the world like he used to. All that happened because a few Christians lived for God, and he noticed. As you now live your life, that same thing applies to you. As you live for God, people do notice. Recognize the important task you now have. That as you go about your daily life, no matter what you're doing, there's always a chance. People always notice you. You can always share the gospel. So live your life for God. Live for God like Daniel did. Live for God when you're hanging out with your friends and bad language is being used. Use better language and encourage them to do so also. Live for God when you got that big checklist of things to do that takes so much time. Focus on the Word. Study the Word. And as you do, God will strengthen your faith to continue living for Him and not for the world. Live for God when your grandkids are caught up in a sin. Remember that their relationship with God is more important than your relationship with them. In all these instances, live for God, that someone else might see their sin and then see their Savior and live for Him as well. Always be willing, always be eager to live for God and share that gospel message. Share God's amazing grace that we have talked about that wanted to save someone like Nebuchadnezzar. Share God's amazing grace with them that saved you. And share God's grace with them that saved them. Are you living for this world only? There's another in the fire. Live for Him. Out of thanks to Him for stepping onto your scales, for stepping into the fire and not found wanting, but perfect in your place. Believing in Him, you know that you have a home waiting for you in heaven. Amen.
Time is precious. Thank you so much for investing some of your time with us today. Could I ask you for one more favor? If you're enjoying this podcast, please don't forget to click subscribe and give us a rating. Just a few seconds of your time will help other people hear the simple, straightforward Bible message we offer. Thank you so much. God bless your day in Christ.